Last time I was with you, we were in the early part of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and that has been the scripture that's been moved over these past few Sundays. And my appeal to you is, because you've not necessarily been here in each consecutive Sunday, is that you read the book of Colossians for yourself at home, because it is one glorious picture. And when I spoke to you last time, I tried to underline that it has to do with what you believe about Jesus, that he is both supreme and sufficient, nothing to add, nothing to take away. This is where you belong, the local church fellowship. This is how you behave, the Christian lifestyle, and this is what you will become. So this morning, I want to focus on the Christian behavior, right? And Paul was alert to the fact that the congregation of Colossae was made up of a pretty rough bunch of people, and they had a background, they had a burden of their past. And when Vernon read that list through, I could almost hear her saying, well, that doesn't include me. I'm not like that. And the answer is yes. You and I may not carry those burdens, but let me assure you, we have our own list of burdens which we have to carry. And Paul goes on and he uses this illustration of casting off the old with relief and putting on the new with joy. Now, when I was serving in the RAF on basic training in the days of national service, believe it or not, I could run 6 miles in full combat uniform, carrying a 60-pound pack and a 9-pound rifle. And at the end, I will tell you now, I was glad to shed the burden. Understood? Yeah. Now, as Christians, we are people who have shed the burden that debilitates the freedom to live life to the full. And some years ago, and I may have told this story before, but some years ago when I was walking in the Lake District, some fell runners came up from behind me and passed me and then continued to run up a cliff face past a couple of people who were rock climbing with all the gear and all the ropes. And they ran past them and disappeared over the top, only to reappear down a very steep track and were confronted by a lake, which they did no more than to go into, rush through it, swim through it, came out the other side. They were now on my track coming towards me. And as they went past, one of them said to me, "We only do it for a laugh." Now, that, friends, is in one sense living life to the full, not cluttered. Cluttered with things that we have begun as good but become a burden. And believe it or not, that can even happen to clergymen in the ministry. Living up to the expectations of other people. And in the ministry results in ministers suffering burnout. When I was ordained here by Dr. Beasley Murray, he preached on the subject of take heed to yourself and all the flock of God. And sometimes we clergy find ourselves taking heed for the flock and not giving enough time to our devotional lives as individuals. And we pay a price. Some Christians, before they come to faith, carry heavy burdens which they need to shed so they can live life to the full. Jesus came, he said, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And King James calls it the abundant life. But we are nice people. We never carried that sort of weight. That may well be true, but we do discover another sort of weight that clutters our lives and clings on to us. And Paul cries out, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, this was the situation in the young church at Colossae. They had shed the burdens of a past life, were enjoying the freedom of a new life, only to find that they were being burdened by new people coming along and saying, you need this, that, and the other. And reducing the Christian faith to a joyless adherence to ritual and legalism, which is the opposite of what faith is meant to be. Isaiah years ago said, those who hope in the Lord will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And in Hebrews, the writer says, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And sometimes I said, we inherit a pattern of behavior which are cultural and govern our life, from which it is difficult to discard. They may be quite trivial and inconsequential initially, but they become in later times obligatory and burdensome. We must do this, you must do that, you mustn't do the other. And the laws of the Ten Commandments, which are unquestionably good, become added to until in the days of Jesus, I think there was 613 you had to know before you had your bar mitzvah. And Jesus came along and he was concerned. He says, you know how to load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves would not lift up a finger to help them. And in Luke, we find Jesus' words when he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At the same time, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we reject this burden with relief, and we pick up this burden with joy. So there are burdens which are debilitating and need shedding, and there is a burden which is right and appropriate and glorious. A silly little story which is not in the script. When I was a youngster, my dear mother would put the clean clothes on a Monday morning on a chair at my bedside, right? And I would get up, and what would I do? Put on the same clothes as I wore last week and leave all the clean clothes left behind. Now, if you're going to get into clean clothes, what do you have to do? You have to take off the old, and at one point you are naked. And when we shed our past, we come to God naked. Nothing in my hands I bring. Then we put on the new clothes. And one thing which is absolutely crazy is to try and put the new clothes on top of the old, which is very strange. And it doesn't work. So in Galatians, there are two verses which appear to contradict each other. We see it sometimes on the banner. And it reads, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then two verses later, it goes on to say that each one should carry his own load. That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? And the illustration I want to use is this, that there are burdens which are in excess of our way we were designed, and there are burdens which we are designed to carry. And how can you tell the one from the other? Now, I think Colin will confirm what I am about to say, because on a ship you have what's known as a plimsoll line, named after the person who invented it. And that plimsoll line is there so you know whether the ship is underburdened or overburdened, or whether the ship isn't loaded correctly, because you can see it on the plimsoll line. Am I right, Colin? Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that if the Christian church is like a ship, right? It needs a crew to carry the burden, not passengers. In church life, as I said earlier, it is possible we try to live up the expectations of other people, and that can become a burden. And genuine Christians can become the casualties of their expectation. I once had a deacon in one of my churches, and he said to me, We pay you to put bums on seats. However, take heed unto yourself and all the flock of God. In Isaiah 46, he pokes fun at the Babylonian people who make gods, expensive gods, gold-plated gods, silver-plated gods, and when the Cyrus came and ousted out the Babylonians, Isaiah could see the Babylonian people with their gods on wheelbarrows being wheeled away because they were in actual fact useless. And we have swapped that which is of no value and burdensome, and we have taken on that which is a joy to carry. This abundant life, this life to the full, this abundant life of satisfaction and joy in the Lord, this is what we believe. This is where we belong. And this is how we behave until we become Christ-like. Now, I feel sorry for Anne, who next week is following on from me, because I fear I may have stolen some of her thunder. But I have focused this morning on behavior, and Anne may well pick up this and say, and this is what you will become. We become Christ-like in matters of money, motive, and mission. We're not supposed to be driven from behind, but drawn from the front. Not so much meeting perceived needs in other people, but expressing gratitude for the fact that all our needs are already met in Jesus. So we're free to believe, free to belong, free to behave in such a way that brings honor and glory to God.